Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will join us today. Just a quick reminder again, He is risen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, to the Lamb. We have a wonderful broadcast today for you, and we're going to get into that momentarily, but first we're going to do our announcements, and we'll go into our prayer and continue on from there. Prophetess Crystal, if you will.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are excited that you are joining us today. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, Prophetess McQueen. On Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me for my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast that we have live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website, and we do invite you there to our website. Get to learn more about us, the ministries that we cover. We even ask that you would pray about becoming a vision partner and a financial supporter with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like information concerning us in general, prayer requests, amen, or if you would like either one of us, myself or Apostle McQueen, to minister at your church, as you're on our website, again, www.ctkr.org, go to the Contact Us tab located at the top, click there, follow the instructions, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Glory be to God. Amen. Also want to let you know that we, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD, has a Facebook page. Please go to our Facebook page and like us there. Give us your praise, reports. Let us know how this broadcast is blessing your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Now let us look to the Lord in prayer and then prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for yet another day. We thank you for yet another moment, season, and time to give your name glory. We lift you up and we say thank you. We bless your holy name for your protection, your strength, your power, your grace, and your mercy. Excuse me. Father, even now as we, your people, come, our hearts are ready to receive from you, God. Our minds are uplifted and open to you. Father, even now, let your word, that word that cleanses and the blood of Jesus. Wash us from all of our sins. Forgive us for every ounce of iniquity, God. Cleanse us from the inside out. Touch our minds, God, and shift our minds and wash our minds into the righteousness of the King. Give us the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bless you. We thank you right now. God, even those that are listening to this broadcast from all over the world, Father, we just speak life-changing. We speak miracles. We speak signs, wonders. We speak deliverance. We speak wholeness. We speak understanding, revelation. God, that your people will come into the fullness of who you call them to be. In Jesus' name, even those that are not saved, that they will call upon your name to be saved. We glorify and we thank you now. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to minister before your people week after week. God, even now, touch the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let him bring forth your word this morning with power, with the anointing, with purpose, with clarity, with understanding and wisdom. We thank you now for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. And amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. We're so grateful for the opportunity to minister God's word. And brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. Too often the enemy tries to get us to manifest. Yes, that's the word. He would like for us to manifest whatever it is that his plans would be. Understand, he has no creative power. And when I say that, you have to understand that he can look, but he can't do anything with it. Amen. And if we give him the authority by the words of our mouth, and listen to this, the meditation of our hearts, then he gets the ability, he gets the authority, and he has the faith backing whatever his plan is. Amen. It's a revelation that the Holy Spirit was showing me as I was talking to one of our spiritual children. Simply put, your body feels a certain way. And even as your body feels that way, it's up to you to still decree and declare the resolution and not the problem. Amen. As we do so, then our body has to come in alignment. Our faith has to come in alignment with the words that we speak out of our mouths. Amen. And that's where we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The blood didn't come through nothing. The blood came through hardships. It came through struggles. It came through fights, fighting within the struggle, you know, for the flesh against the spirit and our will against the will of God. But even at that, at the very end of it, God still gets the glory and the victory is won. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on, let's go in the word. I want to pick back up where we were in John, the 20th chapter. We shared, and we're sharing in this message, what will you do with Jesus? And we were talking about the fact that Mary, after Peter and the other apostle or the other disciple, and I'm not going to go back into that because I think we understand now the difference between the apostle and the disciple. Amen. Mm-hmm. When they came back with a success and they were correcting what they were doing, the Bible calls them apostles. When they were running off and acting after their own flesh and insecurities and doubt, they were called disciples. Amen. So here, Peter, in the third verse, John 10:23, Peter therefore went out and the other disciples and were going to the tomb. Both of them ran. Amen. The other apostle or other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Amen. Looked down, saw the linen cloth there, yet he didn't go in. Peter came and went into the tomb, saw the linen cloth lying there, and a handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first also went in. And Bible says, and he saw and believed. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But now we didn't see anything from Peter.
Mm-mm.
You see that? Peter went in and saw the evidence, but yet and still the evidence did not move Peter.
Right.
Amen? And too often what we have is we have, I guess you could say, a belief, a politically correct belief in what God can do, because God said it. We know by his stripes we are healed. Yet and still we don't manifest it because we don't really believe it. Yeah, I know it, but I don't really believe it. Why don't you believe it? I don't believe it because somehow or another, I'm still looking for something there that I could validate my faith on. Amen. We, Prophetess and I have been places where we have prayed and saw miracles right now. And then there's places where we prayed and, well, the result is sometimes we might as well not have prayed. And y'all have to understand that this is the key to it. If any two of you would touch, what's the next one? What's that? What's the next one?
Together. Uh-huh. And agree together. Touch
agree. And agree. Mm-hmm. Everybody say it with her. Say touch.
Touch.
And agree.
And agree.
See, one thing that I do every time that I get together with men's group, men's choir that I'm working with, at the end we circle up and we deal with that. And I remind them, I said, we can touch all day long. Nothing's going to happen until we agree. Amen? Because the recipe isn't that you just laid hands on me. The recipe is that we touch. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And in the touching, then we have an agreement. Why is that important? In that agreement, there was Jesus there in the midst. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's a couple of places where it says, if any two or three of you gather together, there am I in the midst. So when we touch and agree, then he's in the midst. And then it goes on to say, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Mm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
People miss the agree part. Don't see what they want to see.
Right.
Or don't get the result they want. They can't attach their faith to it. And then they wonder what's going on with Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that it's not Jesus that you got to worry about. It's your faith you got to worry about. Peter here went in first, saw the evidence, but the text does not testify that he had a change. There was no shift in him.
Right.
You have to understand, he was, while Jesus was there in his face, speaking to him, he was the one, thou art the Christ. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus saying, Peter, the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Peter's like, I'm going all the way. He said, wait a minute, hold on, let me check you right now, because I already know what's going to happen. Before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me thrice. And he said, no, never. When it happened, it's one of those things where sometimes in our zeal we'll say and will stand up. And, you know, nobody's going to shake me. Nobody's going to knock me. Nobody's going to push me. I'm going to stand. I'm taking it straight to the devil. We're going into his camp until a spiritual battle come your way. Huh? And now you got to do something with the words of your mouth. If you have faith in what you're saying, then you have heaven standing behind you. And even in the thick of the battle, when it's the most heated, you'll still come out with the victory. Mm-hmm. But what happens is the battle ensues, and a blow will be dealt, and our faith will deteriorate. Because it wasn't foundational to what we really believe. We believe that while we can see it, while the pastor's doing it, while the church mother's doing it, while the evangelist, the prophet, while the apostle and everybody else is doing it, hallelujah, we're going to do it. It's going forward. Yes. But when you by yourself, do you have a word? Do you have the faith? Do you have, at that point, do you have the victory? That's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Peter here has said all these wonderful things, and then it comes to a test. He fails the test. You know, cussing like a grown sailor. And I might say that right now. He was a sailor. He was a fisherman. He knew how to be out on the water. That was his livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So he just reverted back to what he knew. Amen? And sometimes when we revert back to what we know, what we knew was that we didn't have faith in God. We had faith in everything else. Now we need to shift and get faith in God. The other disciple went in and saw the same evidence. Everybody say the same evidence.
The same evidence.
See, when you talk about the same evidence, it means that there was no additional proof that was provided to the other disciple,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't provided to Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? So when you get the proof, you get the same word, you get the same revelation, you get the same interpretation of what God is saying and how God is trying to bring us forward, you have a responsibility to simply receive it and believe it. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, touch, and agree.
And agree.
Say
and
again. Agree. Touch,
touch,
and agree.
And agree.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Peter here needs some help. Amen? And I'm surmised that a lot of us need a lot of help.
That's right.
Amen?
Sure.
I'm going to drop down to the 19th verse. We walked through what Mary did. Mary stood there and how she was weeping after they left. She didn't leave. She came with them, stayed there after they left. Amen?
Correct.
And let me just say this here. Y'all can take this and run with it, but you got to learn how to get a Terry in your spirit. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
A Terry in your spirit. What does Terry mean? Terry means to wait. Amen? We used to have Terry services where we would come in as young people and we would wait on the altar and we would cry out to the Lord. We would cry out to him until we felt a shift in us. And we could tell when you got it because we felt and we saw a shift. Amen? Some things that you have been going through, you were instantly felt empowered and knew that you didn't have to be bound by it. You didn't have to succumb to it anymore. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? So when we see you have that experience, it didn't come from you coming down to the altar and saying, Lord, save me. Amen. Thank you. Clap my hands. Go back, hug a couple of people from the church, and then go sit down. No. We came up and we cried out to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we cried out until there was a shift and a change in us. Amen. We need to get back to Terry services.
Real
we don't tarry anymore.
Mm-mm.
We are microwave saints.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'm praying right now. Do it now. Touch my body. Do it now. Okay, listen. Healing is a process. That means it goes from being very bad to not bad at all. Amen? To not there. Amen? Mm-hmm. Miracles means you feel bad, you don't feel bad at all. You understand? It is something that is instant. It's something that happens in a quick succession when we see a miracle. Amen? I still thank God and understand that there are times when we need to go through a healing process so that we can learn how to keep our faith intact even during the process of our healing. And then there's times when the Lord will move right now. Mm-hmm. You need to have both of those experiences under your belt. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Because some things are going to happen quick and some things are going to take time. And you can't lose faith, amen, en route to your deliverance. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Mary stays here and has a revelation. I'm not going to go back into that 16th verse. Everything changed with just the calling of her name. Some of y'all need to understand that Jesus is calling your name, but you still have a responsibility to see him as he is. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's drop down to the 19th verse because this is really where I want to, hang my hat and deal. There's a couple of things here, and the Lord said the same, we'll finish up today or we'll finish up on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. I pray that you all are continuing to follow the broadcast. It will be one thing and wonderful if the Holy Spirit would allow us to just come in and preach a message at a setting. But a lot of things that we learn by repetition. Amen. Mm-hmm. You don't go to a school and learn addition in a day. Amen. You go in and you'll be doing addition for a while because they'll be adding on because you have to learn how to go through your tables. 1 + 1, 1 + 2, 1 + 3. And then you still have to learn how to put together compounds. 10, 11, 12. We haven't got into hundreds. Mm-hmm. And what about long addition? Where you have 235 plus 310 plus 45. You understand? And you have to learn how to line it up so that you can count it right, so that it comes out right. So you don't learn addition like this in one setting. And the same thing, this word, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, amen, every word be established. But we have to go back and make sure that we understand what it is. So the Lord gives us revelation, and then he builds upon that revelation, and then he builds upon that revelation. And at the very end, you have a full understanding of a principle, a kingdom principle that you can take, that you can apply to your life, that will change who you are, amen. So if you ever wonder why we preach in series, it's not because we don't know any word. It's because we have an assignment. And the assignment is to make sure that you understand the underlying principle. Amen? We keep going back to do your assignment and stick with your assignment. We keep going back to you are what you speak. The words that you speak out of your mouth have the life or have the power of death and life. So when you keep speaking my pain and my misery and you want God to heal you, your faith has already spoken your pain and your misery. And the enemy is, the devil is a legalist. So when he's holding up before God is the words that came out of your mouth. And because you are a child of God, you just gave him creative authority in your life for pain and misery.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn. And you heard me say this again before. I'll say it again. You have to learn how not to regurgitate the problem, but to speak the resolution.
Amen.
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 As we do so, then we can see the results of our faith. Amen.
Yes.
So that's why we we teach along these lines because you have to get these principles and apply them, and you'll see them over and over in the Word of God because it is something that we have to learn to do. Amen? Amen. I'm not telling you that we woke up, got saved, and we started just decreeing and declaring. No, there's a couple of times my flesh spoke out, and the Holy Spirit had to check me and say, whose faith are you speaking right now? And whose authority are you speaking? Amen? And I had to say, Lord, help me, and then get it together. Amen? Amen. Now, let's look at this. 1 John 20:19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, notice Jesus didn't wait for them to ponder on this long. Amen?
Right, right, right.
Again, Peter and the other disciple have left the tomb. Mary now has had a paradigm shift. Her life has been changed. She's been called, given an assignment, given a message, and sent on. Amen. And now, Jesus decides, okay, let's come and check whether or not you could receive a word. Amen. Now, 18 verse, let's just back up. It says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he has spoken to her these things. Mm-hmm. So now Jesus shows up in the 19th verse. Amen. Look at how this scene unfolds. And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear, I can stop right here. For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, notice something here. Notice whenever Jesus would come and deal with them, walking on the sea, sleeping in the boat, sleeping the ship and the waves and everything, he would always say to them, peace.
He did.
And then he said, he would say, why did you doubt? Mm-hmm. Why are you afraid? Mm-hmm. You see that? See, we are conditioned through life to be fearful of certain things. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, because somebody got burned messing with a stove, to be afraid of the stove. Don't touch that stove. That stove gonna burn you. You understand? Because you hurt yourself playing and doing certain things, you learn to be fearful of certain things. So what we have to do is we have to unlearn behaviors. Say with me, unlearn behavior.
Behavior.
Say it again, unlearn behavior.
Behavior.
Because a lot of times, and you have to understand, here they are, they looked at what he did to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Jesus told them what was going to happen. Fulfilling his word, he's now here with them.
All right.
You see that? But what did they do? Instead of them being there as witnesses of who he was and a testimony of having been with Jesus, they have forgotten that they had ever been with them. Now they're hiding. How many people are supposed to be out doing what God called them to do, yet and still they're sitting back hiding? Somebody else go preach it. Somebody else go lay the hands. Somebody need to go over there and do something. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to go do something.
You need to go do something.
Come on, say it again. You need to go do something.
You need to go do
something. He didn't bring you along with them so that you would not be a witness. He brought you along with them so that your witness would have validity. You have been there. There's a credibility with the words coming out of your mouth because you aren't one that heard about it. You were one that was there and experienced it with him.
All right.
Amen? Yet and still, here they are. They got it together. They're assembled, amen. You see this? First day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, they came together. But now, instead of people coming and going freely, they got to knock on the door to try to get in. Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't behind closed doors when he ministered, right. Yet and still, here they are, hiding out. The power of God, the witness of the power of God is hiding out. And today, the witness of the power of God is hiding out. Lord called me. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. What? Hold on. Stop. Stop. If you don't tell people, who's going to tell them? If you don't witness Christ, who's going to witness? See, wanting everybody else to do it, we failed to do it ourselves, which means nobody did it. The world is still looking for Jesus. Huh? I found that as I'm going through my classes and I'm dealing with this world religion course, as I'm looking at the world religion course, I'm finding that there's belief in Jesus. It's just what they believe in Jesus. Certain religions have taken away Jesus as the name and have come up with other names. Amen. And they have given the attributes of Christ to it.
All right.
You see that? So now as you look at it, you'll go back and you'll see, you know, isn't this just like Christianity? Isn't this just like Christ? Yet and still, it's not called Christ. The thing is that people are seeking Christ. And if we allow them to find something on their own, it will not bear his name. Amen, somebody. So when you come and you say that this is Christ, because of your non-activity or your inactivity, your lack of witness, amen, they have found things and they have gone wayward. Okay. So now we have to deal with conformity or celebrating diversity. Let everybody just come in, you know, coexist. Listen, it wasn't about coexistence. It was about demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. Amen? And as we demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God, then there is a witness to the truth. Amen? But when you don't sit out and do what God gave you to do, when you go about and say, Lord, thank you, I made it. You see, not worried about anybody else. Well, I ain't never had to build. Listen, the Holy Spirit gives you a holy boldness. Amen. True. The boldness to speak. He is the empowering of your witness. Amen. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I couldn't stand up and say half of nothing. Amen. There's times, I don't want y'all to ever think that because we minister and have been ministering for a while that we have overcome,
right.
You know, we could just stand up at any time and just go at it. No, no, no. If the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken me, if he doesn't give me revelation in what I'm seeing, then I don't have nothing. Amen? I don't care how many. There's right now. Someone that I could mention a name, amen, but I'm not going to mention the name and throw them under the bus. I'm just going to talk about what they do. They'll get up under the bus themselves, amen. We'll pay for their lesson or pay for their sermon every Sunday, but have no attachment to the process that developed that sermon. So they're up reading off what they purchased and have no connection to the text that they're proclaiming. Hello, somebody. What happens when you don't have that connection? Then you don't have a witness. And if there's no witness, what is the Holy Spirit going to empower? Oh, well. Lord, Lord. Everybody just say amen, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, let me get back to this. Then the same day of the week, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled in the right place, doing the right thing. They came together, but they had the doors shut, afraid and ashamed of who they were.
Yeah.
Knowing that they need to go forward because Jesus didn't do all of this so we can sit back here behind closed doors. Jesus didn't save and heal and deliver you so that you can sit back on your talent back here behind closed doors. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, get out there and do something with this.
Get out there and do something with
it. Get out and do something
Amen.
With it.
Amen. Why are they back there? For fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came and stood in the midst. Doors shut. Nobody can get in. Nobody knows I'm back here. I want you to know Jesus can find you where you are.
Amen.
Amen. And when he comes in, he doesn't come in knocking on the door trying to get you to open it up. Jesus just shows up. Amen. In the midst of your problem, in the midst of your situation, I could tell you I was, when I was running from my call, I could be in the middle of the most sinful, evil people doing all kind of heinous, crazy stuff, trying to disqualify myself the most I could from any call of God. And in the middle of me doing all of that, there would be somebody right there who would say something that would be so incriminating that you would know Jesus was there and the light of truth was on. Mm-hmm. It's like, here I am trying to out-dance, out-smoke, out-drink, out-do everything else than anybody else, and somebody comes up and calls me a church boy. What about me right now looks church? Nothing about me looks church. But to a spiritual eye, you can't hide. Amen? So Jesus found a way to send, even in that situation, a message. Hey, you out of place. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus comes to them and says to them, peace be with you. In other words, the words that I've been speaking all this time needs to come and be right here with you again. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When the disciple, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. Amen? So now he speaks the words that they're familiar with. And then he shows them something that will settle their unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Look what it says in the 21st. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Period.
Mm-hmm.
What's that next word? What's the next word here?
Then the disciples?
Then the disciples. Not the witness of Mary Magdalene. Not seeing the stone rolled away. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not seeing the handkerchief that was on his face folded and the linen laying there. None of that. Huh? What happened was when Jesus finally showed up in a miracle, door shut, yet he's here in the midst, speaking the words that they were familiar with, peace be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then showing them the proof of his hands and his eye. It is at that point, then the disciples were glad. They believe now. You see this? Blessed are they
mm-hmm.
who have not seen and believe.
Yep.
And we speak so much faith in Jesus, but we miss it so far. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
I know I'm right about
yes,
this. Ooh, I have a, ooh, I could, ha ba 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 ba. Okay, yeah, ha ba 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 ba. Do you believe for real? Or are you just going through a emotional response? See, we keep missing this here. He's trying to show us something, and we keep missing this. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, simply believe.
Simply believe.
See, when I asked the question at the very beginning, what will you do with Jesus? Mm-hmm. It is tied to where your faith is. Do you have faith in him before he goes through or before you go through? Do you have faith in him as you're going through the process? Mm-hmm. Huh? And do you have faith in him after everything seems to be said and done?
Right, right.
Hmm? See, if you look at, let's take it from here, and let's go back to Genesis, Joseph having dreams, amen? Mm-hmm. Here he is having dreams. He tells his brothers about it, and they're upset. Then he has another dream. He tells his father about it. And his father asks, should we all be lesser than you? Are you going to be greater than all of us? You know, so everybody knows he's having these dreams. And then he gets thrown in a pit. His pride is taken away from him. You're not no more Israel's son, but just something. You're not anybody special anymore. You understand? Throw him in the pit. Not a child of Abraham. Not a child of Isaac. You're just a slave now. Yeah. Goes over into Egypt. Sold. Does he have faith still in the dream? Gets sold. It goes into Potiphar's house. God begins to give him favor. He's going through things, seems to be looking up. No matter what's going on in my situation, the Lord is giving me the victory here. I'm looking up. It's looking up. Hallelujah, I'm going to make it. And then Potiphar's wife happens. Can he keep the faith now in the dream as he's going to prison on false charges? In prison, here he is talking to the wine taster and the baker, and they have dreams, and the Lord uses him to interpret the dreams, and he speaks to him, surely now someone will plead my case and vindicate the anointing on my life. There, the dream will be realized finally, but yet and still they got out, one died, the other one went to serve, and nobody said nothing about him. Still in there. Do you have faith to hold on to the dream still? See, some of us would have given up a long time ago. Some of us would have gave up at the pit. Hmm? If he had given up the dream, then when Pharaoh called him concerning the dream that he had, his mentality would have been messed up to stand before Pharaoh. It was at that point that he actually made it to where the dream was realized. Huh? As everything happened, his family came back and began to bow before him, just like at the beginning, just like before the pit, just like before Potiphar's wife, just like before the imprisonment. You see? See, you can't give up at the pit. You can't give up in service. In slavery, amen. You can't give up at false accusations. You can't give up imprisonment. You can't give up when people forget about you and use you towards their own benefit. Because if God called you, God knows how to position you through the pit, through slavery, through servanthood, through lies, through imprisonment, through being used, to get to the place where he's going to get the glory out of the reason why he called you in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Lord, I wish I could preach this like I really feel it.
Huh? Here he went through all of that to get to that point. Can we keep the faith? Here are the disciples then, back at our text. They have gone through all of this. Seeing Jesus do miracles, signs, and wonders. Not once, but a few times he shows up walking on the water or speaking to the sea. Things that were well beyond their personal control and causing peace to come. Rebuking the winds and the waves. Peter walks on the water going to Jesus. Why are you afraid? Why did you doubt? Here we go again with fear and lack of faith. When Jesus shows up, he shows up and what are they doing? Fearful are the Jews. What does he speak to them? Peace. Bible says then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. 21st verse, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Huh? If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Right. Now you understand why Jesus was always telling them to bless your enemy. Mm-hmm. Bless them that despitefully use you. Mm-hmm. Don't curse them. You see that? Mm-hmm. Because the words of your mouth have power. Look at your neighbor and say, they have power.
They have power.
Come on, say it again. They have power.
They have power.
I think we believe that when we're trying to deal with spiritual warfare or kingdom circumstances and things, that's when my word has power. No, your word has power in your everyday life. That's why Jesus told them, every idle word, you will give an account for. Why? Because now I'm empowering the very speech that comes out of your mouth. You don't have the ability to talk about the fact that I'm sick because you just told your body, be sick. You see that? You don't have the ability to talk about I'm in pain because when you talk about I'm in pain, you're telling your body to be in pain. You can't sit back and say I'm miserable because while you're saying I'm miserable, you have just given your environment permission to make your life miserable. Mm-hmm. I was just saying, every idle word. Everybody say every idle word.
Every idle word.
See, when you stop declaring your circumstance as it is and start decreeing the resolution, then even though you may not feel the best right now, you'll still go on. One thing I found out as I've gotten older, and some of you who have lived a while, you'll understand what I'm about to say here. There are days when I get up out the bed and my back isn't feeling all that great. And, you know, I'm every step I'm hearing one up or another part of my body crack or creak or pop or something like that. But if I keep moving, it stops popping. It stops cracking. You understand? See, and that's how it is. I could get up and say, crack, oh, I can't move no more because I heard my ankle crack. Mm-hmm. No. I got stuff to do. I have places to be. And I command my body. My body don't tell me you're not going anywhere because the ankle's going to crack. Mm-hmm. I have to learn how to get up and move regardless. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Uh-huh. Amen. Because if I allow my body to dictate them to me what I can do and what I shall do, then everything that I need to do won't get done. When you don't move, which is the reason why when you go to the hospital and you begin to deal with surgeries and the like, the first thing they do is they start moving you. I remember having knee surgery back in the 80s. Amen. I had my knee surgery. I'm sitting up there, and the very next day they came and told me, come on, let's get moving. Bend this knee. I'm like, oh, no, I can't bend the knee. I just had surgery. They said, no, you can bend the knee. Trust me, you can bend this knee. And I kept telling them I couldn't bend the knee, and no matter, I'd look at it and try to bend my leg. It wasn't going nowhere. And then they would take and start to help me by physically manipulating the movement of my knee. And in my mind, I'm sitting there saying, oh, I just had surgery. I can't do it. And they say, yes, you can. Listen, the more that they told me I could, the more that I tried, the more I found out that, you know, I could actually bend my leg. You ever wonder how football and basketball and baseball athletes and those who have injuries, how do they get back so quick? Because as soon as they have the injury, they go into rehab. And the first thing they start dealing with is range of motion and rebuilding the muscle. The muscle tore, but it rebuilds back stronger than it was. Amen? And if we allow that muscle to come back, but we don't give it any range of motion, you'll be stiff. That's the way they keep moving you and getting you to stretch and getting you to depend on it, because most of your injury after it's happened is healed in the body, but it's still fresh in the mind.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And if it's fresh in the mind, then when you speak about it, you'll speak as if it is, instead of realizing that it was and it is no more.
True.
Y'all see what I'm trying to say? Lord, help us. See, healing in that aspect. I remember going to church, and I'm sitting there as the church musician. Amen. One of the musicians at the church, but I'm the organist, and everybody else plays bass, guitar, or something else. Amen. I'm the only one on keys. Let me say it like that. So here I am. I'm sitting there, and they're trying to sing and everything, and I'm sitting on the front row with my legs stretched out, talking about, I just had surgery. Guess what? It got to a point where I hobbled up to the organ, put my leg over on the side, and if I had to hit the C or hit the C sharp over at the end with my leg, then that's what I started doing. And I found that the more that I tried to hit an E flat would stretch me a little bit, so I tried to hit an E flat, that way I could get in there. Amen? But I learned that regardless of where I was, my leg was hurting. Or my leg had surgery, my knee had surgery, but my other foot and my hands were fine.
Right, we got to shut everything down.
Thank you. There you go. That right there is a revelation of this whole thing.
Shut it all down.
Here you are, your nose is stuffed up, but you shut your body down. Breathe out your mouth. That's why you can breathe out either one of your nostrils or your mouth. Amen? Huh? We learn. How to shut down everything for a little something. And if you never build up your response to the hardships in your life, you'll never have any tolerance to ever go through anything in your life. One of the first things they did when I went into the military was, if something happened to you, the enemy's not caring about your head.
Nope.
He's not caring about your hurt feet. He's trying to take you out, and your job is to survive. The reason why you're trying to survive is not because you just want to live, but because you know if they get past you that there will be other casualties. Mm-hmm. So you are a line of defense. Amen? And you learn how to hold the line. Why am I going through all of this? And you need to go back and look at, what is that, the military channel. I think they call it the American Hero Channel now, or whatever they call it now. But one thing you find out when they start talking about, how did you make it through that night in the jungle? How did you make it through when the odds were 100 to 1, 100 to, or 50 or something like that to 1? They said, what we had was we had each other, and I am my brother's keeper. If I do something stupid, it won't just take him out and take me out too. Or take me out, it'll take him out. We could lose. So they were focused on how do we come together and keep going. The cries of those who have been wounded were in their ears, and they knew that if they gave up, then they weren't just crying, they would all be gone. So they held on, calling back to command. Command said, listen, we won't be able to get to you at least till first daylight. It's too dangerous to come in. We'll lose more soldiers. They said, if you can dig in and hold out, we'll be there in the morning. Amen? So they would dig in and they would hold out. There will be snipers and attacks at night. Some of them will be wounded. Amen? Come in and knew that they were hurting, and yet and still they say, listen, just give me my weapon and just lay it here in that direction. And I got one good arm. I'll just pivot it on this rock if I have to. But we're going to make it. Listen, if you don't have a resolve within yourself that I'm going to make it regardless, the enemy will send little splinters your way, knowing that it'll shut you down. But you have to decide in yourself, I'm going to make it. The words of your mouth, the resolve of your heart is so important. Jesus told them this right here. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go further into any of the conjecture that may be there implicated in that statement, because some people believe that the Holy Spirit didn't show up until they were in the upper room. I beg to differ. Jesus breathed upon them.
Sure did.
Ha, the breath of life.
Oh,
he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit at this point. They received it. Empowerment. Huh? When they get to the upper room, they're going up there because they have now been given a recharge of assignment, a focus of existence. Huh? Most of us then will fall into where Thomas did. And I'm not going to go into that in 24 first. We'll pick this up, amen, on Tuesday so we can finish it. But when we ask the question, when I ask the question, what will you do with Jesus? After all that Jesus has done, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the teaching, the instructions, the life lessons, not just what he said, but what he did. Huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When he died, when he went through his passion, huh? For you and for I, he allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to crucify him. He allowed them to challenge him in his anointing, challenge him in his assignment, challenge him, spit upon him, smote him, lied upon him, called him all kind of names. How come we can't stand? How come we give up so quickly? Where's your resolve to complete the assignment? We got to go back to the cross and deal with what Jesus did for us. This part that we're looking at is the other part of it. Without a death, there can be no resurrection. So he got up. And we celebrate that. And as we celebrate the fact that he got up, we know that because he got up, we can get up. That he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Huh? The first among all who are resurrected. I'm getting up. I don't care if my head does lay down. I know I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up into life everlasting. Amen? And you need to have that understanding. I'm not trying to live forever. No, this old temple here, this old body, is showing signs of age every day. Yet and still, I'm not trying to hold on to it. Huh? I'm trying to get past this. My eternity. It's in the presence of the King. And being a kingdom citizen, greater than that, a joint heir, I know that I have a place to go that's going to be to my benefit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what I do with the rest of my time in this vessel determines the level of my existence there. Don't you want to go? I know I do. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify you. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for this opportunity to minister this word. Now, I pray for those who are not saved, Lord, that if they would want to be saved, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be instructed and go on to do the work that you called them to do, the work that you called them to do. Mature them, develop them. Now, I pray for those who are sick, those who are need a touch, Lord. We touch and agree with them now. Lord, those who need resources and finances and other things, miracle signs and wonders in their life, I pray right now that they manifest in the name of Jesus. Do it now for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. On Tuesday, I'll be ministering over in Pakistan. Amen. The Lord has opened up a way through technology for us to do it. And there's others that need our help and need our ministerial support. But some of them also need our financial support. And I ask you to help us to do what we need to do. Amen. There's persecution all around. And those who have a heart and desire will be able to go on and do the work that God called them to do. Thank God for the local church. For some of you comfortable in the seats. Some of us, the Lord has given us a global ministry. We have to deal with that. So I pray that you stand with us as a vision partner. Your financial gift will help us to do more to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m.